If you have your Bibles this morning, why don't you open up to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 7. And I am just really getting excited about this series, Conversations with Jesus, and looking at all the different people Jesus interacted with. And several people have come to me and said, hey, did you know that, at least on TV, they've already passed it, but on TV, Pastor Robert's going through the face-to-face with Jesus. He's going through a series on having... I said, I kind of realized that, but I didn't realize it when we started the series. All I know is that this is just a wonderful look at the heart of God. And as I was praying this week and spending some time with him, he took me back to a week ago or 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Matthew, and Jesus said these words. And here's where I just want to start with Matthew 9:13. Jesus said, go learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy. Everyone say mercy. I want you to show mercy and not offer sacrifices, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. And this word, it just hit me again. What does it mean to really show mercy? Last week we looked at the sick man who was sick for 38 years, and he was where? He was at Bethesda. You know what Bethesda means? House of mercy. Anytime you have Beth at the beginning of it, that means house, Bethlehem, house of bread. Well, Bethesda is house of mercy. How many know if there's any place that should be a house of mercy, it should be our church. It should be our homes. Should be houses of mercy. And Jesus said, listen, you really need to go and understand what the scripture means. I want you to show mercy. Because why? What is man's greatest need? It's mercy and grace. How many of you know, if our need was for information, God would have sent an educator? If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent a nerd. If our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent an economist. But since our greatest need was mercy, God sent a Savior. Amen? God sent a wonderful, beautiful Savior. And so we're going to look today at another story of Jesus showing mercy. And I just want to say this has become one of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of my favorite conversations in the Bible, because I feel like for many people, you'll be like me. For many years, I misunderstood what this story was about. I really didn't have a clue what it was about, but as we begin to study and look at it, we begin to understand some things. So we're in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And I'm going to start reading in verse 36. Love to hear those Bible pages turning. That is just the greatest. For any, John, tell me, say it's true, isn't it? For any pastor to look down and all you hear is Bible pages turning, that is the greatest sound in the whole world. Then one of the Pharisees. Now we're going to find out this Pharisee's name was Simon. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And so he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. I'm glad Jesus has a good example for us. He loves for us to go over to people's houses and eat and spend time with people. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Everyone say she's a sinner. She's a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and she stood at his feet, behind him. Now, have you ever seen a picture, ever, of the woman breaking the alabaster box behind Jesus? No. Why? Where do they put her? At his feet, in the front. But Scripture is very clear. She's behind him. Why? She's too ashamed to come and face him directly. There is such shame in her life for what she's been doing, because the reason she was known that she was a sinner is because she was a reputable sinner in her profession. And so here she comes behind him. And she began weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Church, can I tell you, this is a picture of worship. This is a picture. The word worship means to kiss the feet. That's what worship is. That's what we did this morning. We poured our heart to God and we worshiped him. And we bowed our hearts and we kissed his feet. Why? We're going to understand why this woman is desiring this and why she's worshiping so. So this beautiful act of worship is going on, but yet Simon the Pharisee is now going to turn to Jesus, or is going to begin thinking some thoughts. As he sees this picture unfolding, Simon begins to think in his head. Now in verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to who? Himself. He spoke to himself. He's having a conversation in his heart, saying, this man Jesus, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is sinner. Verse 40. And Jesus answered his thoughts. He said if he were really a prophet, he would know. So Jesus decides to answer his thoughts. Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon said, go ahead. What's on your mind, Jesus? Jesus says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, Simon, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, Simon, her sins, which are many, everyone say, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, how many of you know, for a lot of people, you begin to think, and here's what we start to see of this story right off the bat. Someone is really bad is able to love God more than somebody who's not so bad. That's what I thought. Okay, I'm just being honest with you this morning. I took this story at face value and said, wow, these folks who have had a chance to live in the world and they've tasted the world, they can really love God. But I've been in church all my life. I was 5 days old, and my mom brought me to church, and I've been going to church ever since. How can I? And we got a lot of kids that are being raised in this house. And so they might think the same thing. But when we begin to understand what Jesus is really trying to say. Now, we see the obvious difference of the story that Jesus is telling. We're going to focus a lot on this story that Jesus is in, the conversation that he's going to have with Simon. We see one owned 50, one owned 500, one loved much, and one loved little. But let's start off this morning and let's look at the similarities of the people that Jesus is describing in the story. And let's begin to grasp and understand the heart of Jesus and what he's trying to tell Simon. Because as much as Jesus loves the woman who's worshiping at his feet, Jesus' heart for Simon is just as great. We've got to catch this morning, church. Jesus' heart for the woman is great, and he appreciates her acts of worship. But let me tell you what, Jesus' heart is still just as concerned for this religious man whose heart is hard and crusty and is clueless concerning the kingdom of God, even though he's got the title of Pharisee. Jesus is just as much concerned about him, about Simon, as he is this prostitute. So here's what we know. Number one, how many of you know this? They both owed something in the story. One owed 500 denarii. One owed 50 denarii. Now, a denarii is a day's wage, okay? So one of them owed approximately a year's worth of wages, and one of them owed approximately a year and two-thirds worth of wages. But it's just, they both owed. Can I remind us all this morning? We all owed a debt that we could not pay. We all owed a debt that we could not pay. Look at this scripture. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God, for they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does not good, and so that you can't argue. Paul writes, no, not one. Listen, Romans says what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned. We're born with a sin nature. We all owe. Now, here's the question. How did we get such a big bill of debt? How did we get such a big bill of debt? And the Lord really pushed this on my heart this week. He said, how did this woman become such a notorious sinner? How does anyone get themselves in a place? And the Lord said, real simple. He said, listen, you got to remind everybody that it just starts with an act. It starts with just one act of disobedience, one act of sin. Maybe trying to cut corners, maybe trying to get ahead. And so somebody commits an act. And at first they feel sorry for it. They feel bad about what they did. But then it comes time around again, and now they have the same situation, and they would like to be able to reverse the way that they acted. But you know what? For this woman, she probably said, the bills are up again. How am I going to pay them? I don't want to do that again, but you know what? I got some money, and she did it again. And guess what happened? This woman developed a pattern. This pattern began to develop. And how many of you know you meet people all the time who have developed patterns in their life? And when they first started them, that was not their goal. How many of you kids, and you ask your kids and go to school today, and we'd ask the kids and say, how many of you want to grow up to be a failure? How many of you want to grow up to be a failure and not have any resources and not have any success in your life? But a pattern begins to develop in their lives. And a pattern begins to develop in people's lives. And they turn from God here and they turn from God there. And next thing you know, they've begun to develop this pattern of sin. In Scripture, it talks about their iniquities. That word iniquities means a pattern of sin that come into people's lives. We all owe, because we've all have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, how many of you thankful this morning when Jesus went to the cross, here's what he said. Yeah, But now your penalty, the debt that you owed, is paid in full. When he said, "It is finished," that term, everybody knew, it meant paid in full. The debt of sin is gone forever. And so thank God this morning, no matter how heavy or how light our bill was, we still couldn't pay. One owed 500 denarii, one owed 50 denarii. They both had a great debt. Number two, how many of you know this morning? I got ahead of myself. Neither one could pay. Neither one could pay. Scripture we read. And when they had nothing with which to repay, they had nothing with which to repay. The one who owed 500, he didn't have 250 to pay. The one who owned 50 didn't have 5 to pay. Every person is bankrupt before God. Every person is bankrupt before God. But how many of you know God puts out there a daily deal? God gives us a deal that we can't refuse and we can't pass up. As a matter of fact, it's much better. I was excited last week. I got a good daily deal. I love going to eBay because I needed a boat cover. My boat cover was torn to shred. And normally I have to pay well over $100 for a boat cover. And I got a daily deal. $54. And that was a great deal. But how many of you know God offers us He's offering us life and life to His fullest. He's offering us eternal life. And it's a deal that we can't put a price on it, can we? It's so great. We read in Romans chapter 8, "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us. And He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand." Church, come on, catch this morning. He's pleading for us. Man, His heart is crying out for us, saying, "Oh, if you'll just but please but come. If you'll but please give your heart to me, give your life to me, and let me see what I can do with it." He says, "I'll take all your shame. I'll take all your pain. I'll take all that heavy weight that you have been carried around." Those of you who are in school and got to still read some pretty good books, they made you good. How many of you remember reading Pilgrim's Progress? And the weight that he carried around. Church, how long are we going to let people carry these weights around? How long, or how does it affect us when we see them? What is our heart like when we see them? Because God's heart for them is, come on, I want you to be my child. I want to take that weight, and I want to give you my love. I want to give you my forgiveness. I have a great plan for you. I have a deal for you, and you can't pass it up. And yet, how many of you know there are people every day who pass it up? So what do we do for them? We pray for them, and we encourage them, and we keep loving them, and we keep sowing seed in their life, and we keep giving them the things that, because God has given us, Scripture says, freely you have received, so let's all freely give. Let's begin to give. I told you this morning, God's put on my heart, particularly since I shared the story of the Good Samaritan. He's put on my heart the fact that I can't just drive by people and just let them get. If I see someone on the side of the road, I need to make sure. This morning, I turned down the road to come to the church, and all of a sudden, I saw this figure off in the distance walking, and I'm like, okay, Lord. And I looked at the side of my truck, and it's filled with stuff. It's filled with coats. It's filled with raincoats. It was filled with tools. It was filled. And I started moving stuff, going, okay, Lord, I'll slow down, and I'll slow down. It was someone jogging. As soon as I got up and I was going to pull over and say, "You want a lift?" And all of a sudden they turned right and they kept on jogging. I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay, yeah, I didn't miss it though, Lord. I was ready in case they needed a ride. Listen, they could not pay. You could not pay. And we were all sentenced, weren't we? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. go straight to jail. That's our sentence that is upon us. We've read this scripture in all our lives, haven't we? Isaiah chapter 64, and I've misquoted it all my life. But look at it. But we are all like an unclean thing, for all our, say it with me, righteousnesses. That's almost kind of hard to say, isn't it? All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. What is righteousnesses? It's all our deeds, our good deeds, right? All of our righteous acts in comparison to who? To Him, to God. All the good things that we could ever do, they don't amount to anything. We can try to repay with righteous acts, but how many of you know? We can pray, we can give, we can worship, and that's all great things to do. But those things, it's still just receiving the mercy of God, receiving the grace of God, receiving the free gift of salvation that God is offering for us. I've been told many times, and I agree, Pastor, we make this too complicated for people to be born into the kingdom of God. It needs to be simple, and I agree, it is. As long as they understand what we're asking them to do, and not just to pray a prayer and then just keep on going living their lives like they are. That's not going to help them. Amen. But how do you know the gift of God is free? And whosoever, everyone say whosoever. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's a great promise. Both owed, both could not pay. Number three this morning, how many of you know this? They were both freely forgiven. They were both freely forgiven. And Jesus didn't say to the one who owed 500, this man probably need to work a little bit harder than the other person. How many of you know this, church? Jesus pays more free. Jesus pays and forgives more freely than the church wants to think about. And people are so many times, they've been told this all their life. God only helps those who help themselves. It's a lie. No, God helps those who can't help themselves. Whoever wants help, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will get the help. And when they're ready for it, God is willing to do the... Listen, my dog doesn't have a choice when it's time for a bath. Poor Kirby, he knows it too. He knows when I'm getting ready to put him in the tub with me and put the shower on, and he's going to get a bath. He don't have a choice when it's time for him to get cleaned up. And how many of you know God gives us a choice? God doesn't force any of us to get cleaned up. When we're ready, we can come. And as the man asked Jesus, he said, "Are you willing?" "Oh, yes, I'm willing." God is always willing. Amen. He forgives us. Now, that was the similarity. So let's look at the differences real quick again. And here's the mistake. If 50 is the best and 500 is the worst, don't raise your hand, don't say anything. Where do you put yourself? And this is the mistake, and this is the biggest lie that Pastor Hartley and so many believers do, is we categorize ourselves. And Simon looked at this woman and said, "Jesus, how could you touch this 500? And he saw himself as a 50. How many of you know this, church? We're all 500s. Can I say it again, church? We're all 500s. We were all there, and sin is sin that is sin that is sin. Talk show once, host had Billy Graham on, and he asked Billy Graham,
Thought he would get a real smart answer out of Billy Graham. So, Mr. Graham, who's had over how many 100,000 people get saved under your ministry, and you're this awesome man of God, how many of the Ten Commandments have you broke? Billy Graham said, all of them. All of them. Shocked this host to death. He began to think about what them. Here's what we read in James. And the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who is breaking all of God's laws. For the same God who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you murder someone, you have broken the entire law, even if you do not commit adultery. Church, we're all 500s. When we truly look at ourselves before we came to Jesus, we're all 500s. See, this passage doesn't teach us that there are some who are worse than others. But what this passage teaches us is that there are some who think they are better than others. I believe with all my heart that if Simon would have had a heart of contriteness and had a heart of understanding where he really was, Jesus would have responded in the exact same way that he did to this woman who's pouring out her heart. And so the devil, he puts out two lies, two big lies, and we believe them both. Number one, you're better than others. Number two, you're worse than others. And those are lies we believe. But how many of you know this? The Bible says, and here's the whole Bible boiled down simply. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And some people think, yeah, but I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I've just got a few things that God needs to work on. Or the other extreme is, I'm way too bad. I'm way too bad, and I hate myself. How can I ever come to God and ask for forgiveness? And so Jesus looks at Simon. Simon, he's thinking this. He doesn't say it to him. If you would only see that you are 500 also, you could worship me like this lady's worshiping me, because I paid the same price for you as I did for this woman. Is that a beautiful story? Isn't that a beautiful story of redemption? Come on, Naomi. And you wonder why when you come to church and some people are just able to, they lift their hands up and they're just crying out to God. And you're like, man, that person really loves the Lord. Guess what? They understood what they were. Hello? When you understood, Pastor Harley, I can say this. I was a 500. I wasn't that good. Even though I'd never tasted the world. Even though I've never done anything that the world had to offer. I did a couple stupid things. That's what all teenagers, they go to the stupid zone. I did that when I was a teenager. But for the most part, but how many of you know? Now I understand. I'm a 500. I was a 500 also. And God loved me and saw me just as he was and said, you're my son. You're my child now. Come and receive my gift of forgiveness. You're going to meet people this week. And some of them are going to think I'm a 50. And some are going to think that I'm a 500. And you're going to be able to love them with the love that Christ has for them. And you're going to be able to help them see themselves and understand that God's plan of salvation is for whosoever. Put that scripture up for us. That last scripture. Acts 2:21. Read it with me and stand up as we read it. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.